Now, good evening, and you're very welcome to another edition of Terrace Talk. Donal Barry here with you this evening as we feature the Keane Super Value County Minor Football Final replay. That's right, a replay. Mid-Kerry and North Kerry, they do battle once more. Couldn't be separated last week, but that game will be live and live here on Radio Kerry just from 7 o'clock. Now, before that, we have an in-depth look at Kerry FC, and we'll talk about their chances of making League of Ireland football an actual reality. And we talk to two Clarnymen who are hoping to outdo each other to become a British Rally Champion. And we have a little snippet, of course, from a champion racehorse trainer who have very fond memories of South Kerry for a long time to come after a race yesterday. Now get your comments into us over the course of the next hour. Ivan, of course, is on the phones, and Keane, he'll keep us on time. And those numbers, of course, everybody knows them at this stage. It is 0667123666, and you can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. So get those comments in. Now, first of all, a big shout out to Neely Murphy from Knockanuri. I met him yesterday from Carsfeen. He listens to Terrace Talk each week, and he was just one of the thousands of people, I'd say, that were at the Carsfeen races, which made a successful return after 3 years on hold, of course, due to COVID. And of course, a big well done to all the organisers, Liam Musgrave and Jimmy Corn and Kieran Mack and all the gang that had made it happen, of course, all the many more as well. Now, there's fantastic crowds, as I said. It was a brilliant show of talent, of course, from all the young jockeys. And I suppose congratulations to the young jockey, Dylan O'Connor. I mean, he's a name for the future. He's from Cork. He took the top award yesterday. And of course, it's a place where certain Rachel Blackmore won her first race. Yes, Rachel Blackmore, people are listening now. And yesterday, another famous name collected a win. 12-year-old Jack the Bromhead. Now, where did we hear that name before? Well, I spoke to his fairly famous father and a pretty good racehorse trainer, Henry de Bromhead, just after the win.
Delighted to have Henry de Bromhead. Henry, I suppose you've travelled an awful lot of tracks. Carsfeen's a little bit different, but special for you and for your family after today.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, delighted for Jack. He rode a lovely winner there for Maurice Ahern. And yeah, delighted for him. You know, it's amazing to see him doing it and see all the kids doing it. It's brilliant. It's such it's great for them. It's such good experience, and it's real grassroots stuff.
Yeah, and of course this is the grassroots. This is where it begins for everybody. Obviously, Rachel Blackmore, people will associate. She also won here as well in Carsfeen, which is quite unique. But speak to me about how important it is for the grassroots to get going at this level, because we all see the Cheltenhams and we see the jockeys at the higher end of the spectrum. But this really is where it begins for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much so for the jockeys. It's experience you'll never get anywhere else, you know. And you can see the difference from the kids that come from pony racing on the track as soon as they go. You know, they get established so much quicker. But also, I don't know, you know, not only jockeys, but just when you see the crowds here and people able to get so close to it. And I think it's grassroots for even crowds and people getting interested in racing itself. So it's brilliant, and I think it should be embraced more and more, and you know, supported.
Yeah, and finally, of course, Jack brought a winner home today. What's it mean for you personally to see your own kid on a horse coming home in first?
Oh, sure, look, it's relief probably for his dad, but also it's brilliant. Like, he loves it, and you know, he's just mad into it. And isn't it great? Anytime, you know, if your kid has a passion, like, it's great to be able to support them and see them doing well. But he's very lucky. Maurice Ahern is very supportive of him, and he gives him a lot of opportunities, so he's riding for a good yard.
Henry, you'll always remember Carsfeen, so will you?
I certainly will.
There you go, a man who'll always remember Carsfeen, Henry de Bromhead. Actually, a very, very nice guy, very accommodating, great to give the interview, and in fairness to him, he stood for photos and autographs and chatted, I suppose, and why not? As he said, it's the grassroots and it's where you learn everything. Now, Kerry FC are in a horse race of a different kind, as they race to clear all their hurdles in time to end up on the winner's ring next November, as they try to realise a dream of bringing League of Ireland football to Kerry. Now, last June, they announced they were launching a bid with the FAI to take the last remaining spot in the first division of the League of Ireland. And to see what progress has been made to date, and let's maybe learn a little bit more on the whole project in general, I'm delighted to be joined by Kerry FC Chairman Sean O'Keefe and Director of Football at Kerry FC, Billy Dinehy. And of course, Billy's out of breath because he just ran in there having done a couple of laps of Tralee. The SD man, of course, he parked up good and early, of course. He was taking no chances. Well, look, gentlemen, good evening. And first of all, look, thanks for taking, I suppose, the time out this evening to kind of discuss it. Sean, I know it's been, I suppose, a pretty hectic time off the field. And I suppose in many ways, it's the work off the field that you need to do now to get yourselves on the field in many respects. But before we start, take us back to June and maybe that announcement, that simple announcement that kind of went up on social media that Kerry FC were coming, or Kerry FC were here, or Kerry FC was an idea. Maybe just outline where you've gone from that to possibly where we are now.
Yeah, great, Donal. Lovely to be here, and great to be on your show this evening. It's been an exciting journey. It's been a busy journey. But I think we're very pleased at how we're doing. We're currently in the throes of the licensing process and completing all the documentation. We were told that that would be a pretty comprehensive document to get together. But we've put the last couple of months, we've worked very hard on it and it's coming together. So we've been working on upgrades on the pitch to meet the specifications for the license. For example, the lights in Mount Hawk Park, we had to replace a number of bulbs up there and get the system running again. We've done another test on it and we think we have a solution now to meet the 350 lux criteria. Mm-hmm. So that's been happening. The pitch has had to be retested. We discovered that we had to get a pro cert, it's called a pro cert, so that the surface is at the top condition and quality that it can be for Division One football. So that's taken a while, but we've been working with our contractors, Kelly Brothers, and in general, we're working all guns blazing to get Mount Hawk Park up to specifications mm-hmm. to meet the licensing. Yeah.
And of course, the most important thing, I suppose, we're talking about license. It's not like kind of just a league where you can just join. I mean, all these licenses are the same for every other club that are there. So it's something that's just bringing yourself up to a level to get to the level. And obviously, that's a hugely good thing and it's an important thing as well. But the FAI visited you and they didn't give you any bad news. Of course, they didn't give you any good news either, but they said that they were warm about what they won. So what they saw starting off, you were in a pleasant place. And the upgrades, even though I suppose there are a lot of little boxes to tick, they're nothing that's impossible.
No, there's certainly nothing that's impossible. They were very impressed with the stadium. But like that, Mount Hawk Park is there now over 25 years. So there has some work to be done to bring it up to these standards. They're higher standards. And what the FAI, to be fair, are demanding now is that any new entries into Senior League of Ireland football, that the facilities are top class. Mm-hmm. And I suppose when you bring in spectators, they want a good experience. The players want the best pitches. Everything has to be right. And there are issues then in relation to safety. We had a fire officer up there today. We had engineers up there today, making sure that everything is as safe as possible. So that no accidents can happen or anything while there's a big game on.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it is big games. Billy, I suppose you're trying to create a pathway, I suppose, for players to get to a level. I mean, at the moment, we have 15s and 17s and 19s, and they're probably all backing up around the corner, and there's probably no place for them to go. But you didn't have that pathway, I was going to say, back in the day, not too long ago. But I mean, you left Tralee and you ended up over in Sunderland, and you were farmed out for a bit, and then you came home before you kind of really hit the successful run with Shamrock Rovers. And of course, I do a bit of research, of course, and you'll be pleased, he scored 60 goals, 60 competitive goals in 300 games, which is a fair total. All the same, but that was a path that you travelled on your own. So before we might get to where we're going with Kerry FC, maybe outline that to some of our listeners who don't know Billy Dinahy.
Yeah, thanks very much, I suppose, for having us on, Donald. Thanks for reminding me of some of those goals. A few of them are probably very lucky, but I'll take them anyway. I suppose the whole idea of this, Donald, on the path that I have travelled and been on throughout my playing career, when I retired home and then when I moved home, you know, I said to my wife that, you know, I'm finished now with soccer. We'll have every weekend off. We'll go away on trips and we'll have a lot more free time. But honestly, within 6 weeks, I was washing jerseys in the kitchen and there was little bits of the rubber Astro all over the house. And, you know, my wife knew that this was going to be part of my life. And I suppose the main driving factor is how can I knock down some of those barriers that were there for me and for many others down for the rest of these lads coming through? Because ultimately the barriers that should not be there, you know, within the county, there's a fantastic soccer, you know, environment with a lot of the clubs around the county and the facilities they have, and the grassroots do phenomenal work, you know, and the clubs do phenomenal work at providing recreational level sport for these players. But, you know, ultimately it's like similar to the GAA, you know, you play for your club, and I played for my club Aston Stax and I was a Kerry minor, you know, 5-4 I went, but, you know, players strive to play at Gaelic County for their club, and then they strive to maybe play in an All-Ireland final for Kerry. But, you know, with the local players here playing soccer, they can play for the club, but what else can they strive for? You know, so really the idea was, how can we make this happen? And to be honest, there were so many moving parts, so many jigsaw pieces spread out that, it, you know, it seemed impossible. you know, impossible for a long time. But, you know, thankfully conversations have kind of flowed naturally and organically over the last 2 years. And we're now we're at a junction where, you know, we're kind of at the doorstep now. But I think Sean explained it very well. I think when I was playing around many stadiums, a lot of the criteria now that Sean's working through, I never even thought of once when I walked through the gate to play a match. But, you know, there is a very, very significant workload involved in the whole process off the pitch. And, you know, there's Trojan work going on. And as I said, on the pitch, the players, you know, are fantastic, and they always will be. You know, at the end of the day, it's an enjoyment. People do it for, you know, to go out and enjoy the sport, enjoy the game, but also there has to be a level and a platform for them to try to progress also, you know, and if they can do that within their own county, within their own area, representing their own people, then that would be the ultimate goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And the point is well made. I mean, you're representing your own people. I mean, it's Kerry FC. Sean, the name, obviously, I mean, people have all fancy names about, you know, should it be the Kingdom Waves or whatever it is. But Kerry FC is a strong name. I mean, it's us. It's our colour. It's our brand. It's our people as such in many ways. I mean, it's a good name. It's a strong name. And it kind of sums up where this project needs to be and backed by people who need to be Kerry people, I suppose, essentially, but I mean, further afield as well.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. What better name than Kerry? So it's a wonderful sporting county, as you know. We have fantastic GAA teams, golf teams, you know, racing is very strong, across all the sports, you know. And that's where we are aiming to reach that standard as well for the Kerry people. And I think to get people through the gate, you know, it has to be all-encompassing that this is a Kerry, this is for Kerry. Mm-hmm. This is not just a club standing on its own trying to make money. This is here, you know, so that young Kerry players can play at elite level and at the top level, and that the supporters can come out and enjoy it. I mean, if you go up to the 19s and the 17s and the 14s and watch them playing currently at the moment, the standard will blow you away. Like, and when we started out, our results weren't fantastic, but we knew that that was a long project, and that's 6 years running now, and then we will move into the senior thing. So in order to keep the players here in Kerry, to develop them, to have something for them, our players were leaving, they were going to Cork, they were going to Cove, they were going to Limerick. Now they will have a senior team here, fully professional outfit, that will compete. And over the 10 years plan that we have set out, we aim to get to the Premier Division of the League of Ireland, and that'll be something for Kerry people to come and see.
Jesus almighty, that's a prediction that's going to be recorded. So hold on a second with that one. Billy, explain to people what a night with Kerry FC will look like next April or May when everything goes well, we get the green flag, off we go. Obviously, you're talking about bringing a I suppose it's a class product, I suppose. I mean, League of Ireland soccer is a good product. I mean, at the moment, you look at the Shamrock Rovers of the world and they're competing in Europe. I mean, you're only a grade below it, but you're hoping to get to that level as such. Explain to what people will see. Are we talking hundreds of people in the gate? Are we looking at 1,000 people? Give us an idea of what that will look like.
Yeah, I suppose just to bring it back a little bit and touch on some of the points that Sean mentioned there in relation to the club and the environment that it is, and obviously, you know, ultimately a lot of teams and clubs at elite level are judged on their match on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Friday night, whatever it is. But I think this whole ethos of the Kerry FC will not just be determined on a result on a Friday night. You know, the culture that will be created within the club will be very much so a dual career way for a player coming in at 14 or 15. We had an information night for the players born in 09 there recently, and it was explained to the parents that, you know, yes, ultimately where the plan will be to progress through the age groups and play in the senior team, but there's many other partnerships that we're building on and currently, you know, engaged with in terms of the relationship with the MTU, in terms of the guys in the US on the ground over there, in terms of scholarships that are going to be available to the US for the education side as well. So yes, although a Friday night will be an exciting occasion, you know, for the county and for the community to go on and say maybe a big cup game, but I think it's important to recognise that everything will not just be focused on that Friday night either. Mm-hmm. But I suppose with what you mentioned there, what it will look like, it will depend on who we're playing, of course. You know, at this moment in time in the First Division, it would be very exciting because you'd have five Munster teams in the First Division. So you'd have Cork City, you'd have Cove, you'd have Waterford, you'd have Limerick, you'd all leave Treaty United as they play under now. You'd have all these teams down. So that in itself creates a great atmosphere, you know, creates great excitement. And again, on a Friday night under the lights, it's a nice kind of occasion and a nice atmosphere. But, you know, in terms of crowds, I think it's like every sport, it determines how well you're doing. But ultimately, as I said, when people will see Kerry, as Sean mentioned there, the players that they play and what they put into this. And just to give you a very small example quickly, we played last Wednesday night at under 19 level, and the under 19 group were 2-0 down and down to 10 men at half time, and they came back and drew the game 2-2 and should have won it at the end. And that has nothing to do with coaching or a manager, that has just got to do with themselves and I suppose the environment that they created within themselves over the last 4 or 5 years in particular. And that, as I said, transcends sports and will hopefully live with them long beyond maybe they're finished with Kerry as well, which is very important for me.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, Billy, we're talking about players and pathways. I mean, ultimately, I suppose every fellow that'll play with Kerry FC will probably dream of maybe heading over across the water and going somewhere further afield. But before they get to that level, they need really to be competitive in a sense in the League of Ireland, where they're really getting their kind of, they're pulling up their socks, I suppose, before they move on to the next level. You've played the levels, you've played over. Where does League of Ireland kind of fit in with that dream of England? Where are we comfortably somewhere in the First Division? Are we maybe League One or whatever? Or has the whole gap changed with kids? Because there's so many soccer camps on now. Every kid I know supports Liverpool, unfortunately, or United. They're getting back again. But there's a great appetite for, I suppose, association football from our GA friends. You know, there's a great appetite. And it's an easy enough sell. And I mean, and what you're doing is just kind of organising it and packaging it, hopefully, in such a way that you're giving probably the brightest and the most talented a real shot at it.
Yeah, it is, Donald. And I think, as Sean Kelly mentioned earlier as well, is like Kerry's a fantastic sporting county. Do you know, there's the basketball have come on the scene recently and done fantastically well and created a great, you know, outlet for people in that sport. And all we're trying to do is create it in this sport. That's all that it is. You know, it does seem, I suppose, something that maybe should have happened a long, long time ago. For various reasons, it hasn't. But now we're at this stage now again. You know, and again, as you mentioned there, the whole idea of it is to have this platform there for the people of Kerry, for the players of Kerry, the boys and the girls. And then ultimately, it's up to themselves. You know, I think in terms of the Irish football, where it is at the moment, you only have to look at the recent European results for Irish clubs. They've been fantastic. But you know, they're the elite clubs within the elite leagues, your Shamrock Rovers and your Dundalks and Pats. So, you know, we know we're not at that level yet. You know, you can strive to get there, but ultimately, we need to be a community-based club, self-sustainable, and providing the platform for all the boys and girls coming through. And you know, that's what we'll work hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Speak to me about the community-based club, as you will. Obviously, I mean, there's not going to be a transfer market, I'd imagine. You're not going to be buying the best players from all over. I mean, poor old Sean's checkbook is only so big. I mean, by the time you're finished with the lights and the whole lot, it's ultimately a business, Sean. People come in the gate, they pay their money. I mean, and we look at clubs all across. I mean, at the end of the day, there's an AGM and there's the treasurer and the whole lot, and you kind of cut your cloth to what you have. But we have enough here to be able to cut our cloth in such a way that we can be competitive, we can grow our game. But ultimately, are you looking at players from within here, or how is that going to look like or shape or work?
Yeah.
And Ronaldo is available, I heard, like, so, you know, I mean, before too long.
Well, if the price is right, he's welcome in Kerry too. I suppose we've looked at the model we will go down, and obviously we won't go down the professional route at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll take a few years. We'll start as an amateur club, you know. Yeah. But we have great support from the majority of the clubs in the Kerry District League. They want this. They see it as a way of encouraging young people to take up soccer, you know, because they can see what's ahead. So I think one of the big reasons behind it as well, from a local point of view, is that it will get more people playing soccer, and that will feed into our local clubs at school boys level and in the Kerry District League. So that's one big area. Certainly, there are a number of players that have left Kerry that are playing with League of Ireland clubs, and some of them have reached out to Billy and the coaches about when are trials starting and when can they come and try out for Kerry FC. So I think we'll get some of the talent that we've been nurturing for many years back, you know. Also, there are some very good players with clubs in the Kerry District League, and they'll be welcome to try out for it and see how they do, you know, and see if their talent and their enthusiasm is there for them to play League of Ireland football, you know. So I think it's a win-win. We're also, you touched on it there, you know, we will be looking at ladies, and we will have a women's team as well. That's our goal as part of Kerry FC as well. So it'll be something for everybody in Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, you're listening to Sean O'Keefe and Billy Dinity, of course, here on Terrace Talk, and we're talking about Kerry FC. We'll talk a lot more about Kerry FC after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, of course, and we're talking all things Kerry FC for the next 20 minutes, of course, and we're hugely excited. Now, a man who has put a lot of that together as well is the new CEO, Brian Ainscough, and I caught off with him during the summer.
Brian, as red letter days goes, this is a pretty red letter day.
Exactly, yeah. It's a pretty cool day. You know, we had a lot of good stuff going on besides the media coming in, which we were looking forward to. Everything seems to be really positive about what's going on from with the FAA coming down, looking at Mount Togs Park and looking at the facility and giving us ideas of how we can get over the line. We don't think the hurdles are too big.
Mm-hmm. Of course, this is, I suppose, a two-step process. Everybody has us on the field already, but there is another process prior to that. The red letter day is sometime in the middle of November, but a lot of work, administrative work, will have to go into it, but we're in a good place already.
Yeah, we feel, you know, obviously having the opportunity to be at this facility, and grateful for the KDL for all the hard work and back and forth that we went over the last year and a half to make this come to fruition. So yeah, the potential of the facility is fantastic, and the couple of upgrades that we're going to need, well, we don't think that they're going to be a hurdle, you know, a big hurdle for us to get over.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose if we're going to fast forward to the game, so a lot of it, as we discussed earlier inside, is kind of homegrown players, grassroots players who, I suppose, haven't got the opportunity because the pathway hasn't been there. So how important is this as a pathway, even more important possibly than playing competitively at a level that we're rising up?
Well, it's like, you know, we have to build a foundation. And if we don't, you know, build a foundation, and then we have to go the other route, where it's just going to go out and find players from all over and trying to get wins every Friday night. But this, we want to build a foundation, and we think we're good enough, and we have fantastic people like Billy Dennehy and his crew, that if we do it right, then those results will come. But it's a bit more of a marathon than a sprint. So I hope the people of Kerry just sit with us as we go through this, but understand that it's their son out there, some young player that's local, that we're helping.
Mm-hmm. Brian, of course, the accent is not from South Kerry or Villanchild or West Kerry. There's a bit of a dub mixed with a bit of American there, is there?
Well, there definitely is. I'm obviously from the north side of Dublin. I like to say that, you know, I'm the north side of Dublin, not just from Dublin, and from Finglas. And, you know, spent my time playing ball as a young man up there, playing with Home Farm, Stella Maris and a couple of other clubs. And then moved off to America at the grand old age of 18. And that was in 1983. Oh. So I was able to keep my accent a wee bit.
Yeah, playing with Home Farm, I mean, that name will jump out to our listeners. I mean, that really was kind of a place that brought in young footballers and farmed them out, I suppose, eventually. Who were some of the big names that came out of that club?
Well, we had, you know, just ahead of me in a couple of age groups was Ronnie Whelan. And then you had Gary Howler. And then you had the likes of Brian Mooney and Ken DeMange, who also went to Liverpool, that we all played together. So there's some fantastic players. It was a fantastic club for developing players at the time. And it developed me, helped me go off to college and put me in the right setting. And then I ended up playing professional after college too.
In many ways, Kerry FC could be Home Farm down here in South West.
I think it'll be Home Farm plus. Because we've learned a lot from those years, but I mean, I think we've got ourselves in a good position, and we also think that in Home Farm, up in Home Farm, there's eight other clubs or seven other clubs, I can't recall. Mm-hmm. But down here, we have a lot of clubs that are going to be supporting us. The KDL is part of this, you know. So this is a Kerry club, and if we can get the best young players from Kerry and develop them and put them into an environment, because that's the key, put them in an environment where they play week in, week out against other very good players. That's how you're going to develop.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Brian, I suppose, look, every team will have their first 11, but they also need supporters, the 12 men in the field or the 12 women, I suppose, yelling, sometimes abuse at the manager and sometimes maybe at the referee. What's your message to get people in the gate to watch and support this team?
Well, my message is that, you know, everybody's talked about in the past about why is there not a club in your own backyard? Why don't we now have here? So we need, for us to be sustainable, we're going to need everybody in Kerry that's a sports person to come out and support us. And that's going to be on those Friday nights mostly, where we're not going against our friends in other sports, and you know, we respect that, and you know, from our standpoint, it's a good niche for us. But we definitely want you to come out and support your sons and daughters, because there will be daughters in the next couple of years too playing.
Absolutely fantastic news, Brian. Listen, thanks very much. We will talk to you again through the year. Hopefully, every trip home from Boston will be as positive as today's one for you.
Today was very, very positive. Thanks very much for everything. Thank you.
There you go, Brian Ainscough. He's the new CEO of Kerry FC. And of course, Sean, he said he was not North Kerry, obviously, from Finglas. He seems like a very kind of enjoyable character. I mean, the day that he was there, he was real hands-on. He really invested in the project. And himself and Stephen Conway are two men that are really rolling up the sleeves.
Yeah, well, obviously, Stephen being local and having played in the Kerry District League and represented the Kerry District League in the Aircom Under 21 League when we were back in the early 2000s, we were playing in that league. So Stephen knows an awful lot about soccer here in Kerry and how it works. So he's been working with Brian in the States for many years now with their club called the Boston Bolts. So Brian has developed that team and has coached and worked in football in the US for many, many years. So he brings a huge wealth of knowledge here to Kerry, and we're going to learn from him. We're going to learn how we can take Kerry FC to the next level and how to build the brand and how to build the team and all of that. So he has great contacts in Irish football. So we're already leveraging some of his contacts. For example, Joe McGlue. This is the head man in the Aviva Stadium for the FAI overall security and everything. He's working with us to get Mount Hawk Park in tip-top shape to host these games. Yeah. And it was Brian initiated all of that and through his contacts. And, you know, we're also getting wonderful support from people like Walter O'Halloran, facilities manager of the FAI, Mark Scanlon, who's the main director of the League of Ireland. They're on a constant basis. They're speaking with us. So without all that help, we would not be able to get this off the ground, you know. So it's to our benefit that these people are coming on board.
Mm-hmm. Billy, what would Kerry FC have done for young Billy Dinahy when it was there? We'll say when Billy Dinahy was heading off, and I don't know, did you get your letter to go to Sunderland or where you went? And a lot more Billy Dinahy's left Kerry as well, and they scouted around the place. But what would it have meant to you if it was there at that stage?
I suppose Don really would have given me a platform at home, John, without having to move away. I think, you know, when you look at young players now, you know, moving away at a young age, probably underprepared. You know, they're celebrated when they move away. But I look at certain situations now where players have gone after me, and they've gone away to established clubs in the UK, and they've come back and they're not even playing the game anymore. You know, that's a very unfortunate situation. So I suppose what Kerry FC is, it's a platform for people to progress, but it's also a springboard for people if things don't work out as well. And I think that's the model that we've really gone down. You know, I suppose to touch on it within this kind of soccer world, really, you know, you can go at a model like a club both ways. You can go at it where you need, you know, a lot of revenue and generated into the first team, and, you know, a lot of resources needed in terms of recruiting players, or else you can kind of recruit locally and recruit organic players and develop players and bring them through yourself. And that's the model that we've gone down, and we've done all that in mind of providing these pathways for the players of the community in the wider region of Kerry, you know, and giving them the first chance. So, you know, as I said, if it was me or my brother or many lads that have gone over to the UK since us, it would have just given us, I suppose, the opportunity to play at home, and it would have given my parents a lot less travelling as well, that's for sure.
Absolutely, no more litters. Billy, we mentioned the word pathway and the whole lot, but you say community, and community, of course, is probably the lifeblood of this, because I know for myself that if there's a guy from South Kerry playing on the Kerry FC team, well, I'm going to make an effort to go and watch him Friday night, and probably the same from Dingle, maybe a lot from Tralee and Killarney and the whole lot, and that's ultimately what you're trying to glue together. But I also know Kerry people like to be successful fairly quickly. I mean, like, we went with a famine here in Kerry, we couldn't win the All-Ireland, and, you know, we had managers changed over and we had players in the wrong place. People will have to understand that this project needs to be able to walk before it runs as well, because I'm kind of envisioning, and maybe I'm a touch negative at the best times, but 4 games into the new League of Ireland, the results haven't been going the way they are, and the big headlines are up and the whole lot, and negativity creeps in as such. But this is a project that needs a significant amount of time before people can say yes or no as a successful project.
Yeah, Donald, I think I probably touched on it there just a moment ago in terms of the options that you have. So the options that you have is that you invest significantly in the senior team, which I suppose another kind of group was looking at possibly doing in Kerry, and kind of discarding the academy and all the younger players, or else you go with your younger players and you give them the chance and you give them the time to develop and grow. And I think if you look at the last couple of years with Kerry FC entering into the under-19s age group, for example, you know, they found the first couple of years very difficult, you know, and since then, you know, they've been very, very competitive, you know, because they've had that bit of time to transition into the level and they've got time to adapt to it. And, you know, that's what it being a sports person is about. You know, nobody goes into an elite level and hits the ground running. You know, you need to give players time, you need to give them, you know, I suppose, the opportunity to develop and make their mistakes and learn, or else you just recruit from outside and you give players, you know, wages to come in full time and relocate them in accommodation, which what clubs did to me when I was playing here. But, you know, I think the model that we're going to go down and, you know, which is, you know, thankfully that alignment is there with the guys in the US as well, Brian and Stephen and the club, and is that alignment is fully there, is that, you know, we're trying to create these pathways for the people within this community. And you don't have to be necessarily born and bred in Kerry, you know, you could be relocated there from another area, you could have moved over from any other country, you know, but this platform, this opportunity will be here on your doorstep. And, you know, as I said over the years, many, many times, it's everywhere else in Ireland. Why isn't it in Kerry? And, you know, that's hopefully going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Why isn't it in Kerry, of course? Absolutely. Sean, for you personally, I suppose, as the chairman, what will it mean, all going well, you open that letter, or maybe it's an email, or maybe it's a phone call these days in the middle of November, and you get the good news, and obviously off you go again. But what will that have meant personally for yourself and for all the people with you that have put the amount of work that's in there? I know that you're heading off to a meeting now straight away. Billy's only back from a meeting. I taught soccer, you know, he just sent texts or something like that. But obviously there's a lot going on in the background. There's loads of time. But what will it mean to you personally to get over the line?
I suppose when we get that email or letter, when we open it and look at it, I suppose relief will be the first emotion, you know, that we've actually achieved it, that we've got the licence. It's a difficult thing to get, you know. Other entities have failed to get it, so it'll be relief will be the first emotion, and joy then that, you know, a new beginning for football in Kerry. I think to see what the likes of Billy and the people that have been there in the past, as you correctly said, have brought to Kerry soccer, you know, and where it's going to go. I think there's a fantastic future for it, and I'm going to be so excited to be there when it happened. And I think it'll be a wonderful legacy to leave. I'm in football a long, long time that we've achieved.
You've been opening the door and shutting it in SD an awful long time.
A long, long time, since I was 18 years of age. So before I retire, Donal, I'm looking forward to League of Ireland matches in Kerry.
And John Kennedy thinks he's the most important man from SD, like...
Well, John has achieved a lot too, yeah.
Fair play to John.
Absolutely.
There's a lot, the team is growing, obviously. I mean, obviously, when we met you a couple of months ago, you had the plans, you have a few new heads and new priests elected and the whole lot, have you a couple of different positions?
Yeah, we're starting to fill up positions. I mean, it's mandatory that we have all these people in place. We have your own Ivan here, Ivan Hurley from Radio Kerry. He's joining us as the media officer, so he'll be looking after all the Twitters and Facebooks and all that stuff. George Dineen, who's been involved in soccer for a long time, is going to look after all the disability access and make sure everything is okay for visiting people with disabilities. Who else have we? Chris Hagerty. Chris is working with us a long time now with the teams. So he's going to be reaching out to the community and building a community base for the club. And Damien Locke. A lot of you will know Damien Locke. He was ex-Wexford, and he's from Tralee here. So he's going to look after, he's head of academy, and looking after all the underage teams in Kerry FC and making sure that everything is going smoothly there and that they're well prepared and well organised and all the people are in place. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, of course, Director of Football over here. The head of academy, it's not, obviously the headlights will be shining on Kerry FC and the senior and the whole team, but obviously the production line has to keep going and you can't, you're not going to stop that, or the handbrake won't go there. How important is the academy, and how successful to date, how would you reckon it's going?
Yeah, Donal, I think, again, like with any sporting organisation, especially soccer, I suppose I've had the advantage or the disadvantage of being in clubs that are aligned both administratively and sportingly, but also academy-wise and first-team-wise. And it's absolutely vital that, you know, all the components of a club are aligned in the same direction, and there's transparency and clarity between all the areas. Otherwise, you know, there's miscommunication and there's an area that's not functioning properly. So for me, the academy should be really... the lifeblood of the club, you know, it's the foundation of the club, you know, so there needs to be, you know, the people, the relevant people in place that are aware of the requirements of the senior team and what's needed for the senior team. And you know that's developed year on year on year. And you know, Damien obviously coming in with the experience that he has, along with the coaches who are already in place that have been with us for the last number of years. It's just another resource to help everyone develop the academy and again use those players that can transition into the senior team. And you know, it's a fantastic, exciting time for all the players. You know, it really is. It's something that myself and Stephen and a lot lot of other lads from around Kerry have spoken about since that, geez, we'd love if this was happening when we were their age. But, you know, it's a lot of work still to be done, don't have to say. You know, we're not over the line by any stretch. You know, we're positive and we're working very hard, but, you know, there's still a long way to go.
Has it surprised you as an ex-player, the guy who, you know, comes out of the dressing room and wants to put the ball in the back of the net, the amount of work that goes in at the background, at committee level? Because I suppose sometimes we're in a county where we kind of slag off committee members very easily. I mean, yeah, sure, he's the chairman, he's there forever, and the secretary, and la-di-la. But there is a pile of kind of real, I suppose it's bookwork in a sense, but I mean, it's the organising level, and if that isn't right, the team isn't going to be right. So have you been kind of surprised, or has your eyes been opened, or were you always kind of aware of it? I presume when you were over in Sunderland, they certainly didn't let you know what was happening with the manager or whatever. You just done your own job as such. But your eyes have been opened a little bit more, Billy, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And I think I'd be very lucky to really be at Shamrock Rovers, you know, which is a fantastic club. And I was very close to the chairman there, who reached out and gave us a lot of support since we've got in. And you know, Michael O'Neill was the manager there. And, you know, I couldn't really see, and I knew very clearly when I came back to Kerry that, you know, if there's not that alignment between the administrative side of the club and the sporting side of any organisation, forget about it. Mm-hmm. You've got no chance. You know, and I've seen how that disconnect can, you know, deprive players of opportunities. So for me, it was vital that with Kerry FC, it was a group of like-minded people striving for the same thing, and that everybody was pulling in the one direction. And look, thankfully we have that. Even though we do have that, we still have a lot of work to go through. And, you know, every day there's, you know, different obstacles that are coming our way. But the group of people that are there, you know, are doing their very best to try and get over those hurdles as they come, and, you know, try to put us in a position that, you know, this will become a reality. But, you know, it's a fantastic group of people that have been involved for a very long time behind the scenes, and, you know, they're really the bedrock for what can happen into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, Sean and Billy and everybody else that's involved in Kerry FC, I wish you the very, very best of luck. I'm excited. Somewhere it's different to go on a Friday night. I won't say I'm going to be one of those people giving out when you lose the first two or three, but by God, if you win the first two or three, I expect interviews and access all over the place and the whole lot. And of course, I'll be looking very closely to people from South Kerry, of course. I have to get away with that. There is a couple back there. There's a very promising Renard man playing soccer with you as well, hopefully. But look, the very best luck to you. It's a huge story. Hopefully it's going to be a successful story. Actually, it is going to be a successful story. We just have to wait till November for the next bit of a chapter. And, you know, you might come back to us maybe for Christmas and see where we're going and that kind of stuff, and we're updating, because I think it's very important that the people out there know as well what's happening. There's only so many on Twitter, there's only so many on Facebook, there's only so many kind of involved in the various clubs, and we do reach out to an awful lot of people here on Terrace Talk. And, you know, if they only go home tonight talking about it back in Waterford and saying, God, there's the Kerry FC team, the soccer, we might go up there once or twice. Going well, I think we'll have our work done here. So Sean, thanks very much, and Billy, thanks very much, and we'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're on Terrace Talk, Donal Bear here with you till 7, and then we'll hand over, of course, that live game, Mid Kerry and North Kerry in the minors again. Now, best of luck as well, something I need to mention, to the Parnells of London, who this weekend will contest the London Intermediate Club Final. Now, the team are made up of a lot of English-born players, but of course there's Kerry connections all over the place. Tony Griffin, big shout out there, he's from Ballydunhill, he's the trainer, of course, and Tony's been living in London a long time now. I definitely say he's there 30 years, closer than 20. His two sons playing and a nephew all playing, of course, and all the Ballydunhill crowd will be watching in there. John O'Sullivan from Scarty Glen, he's part of the management, and of course the chairman, Dennis Diggins, his father is originally from Ballyduff, and the secretary, Irene O'Connor, she's connections with Carsevine, of course, and Lawrence Bastable, of course, from John Mitchell's, he's centre back on the team, and of course Jamie Barry from Listowel Emmett, well, he's out injured, he won't be taking part, but he's involved in the club, and Conor Costello, of course, was with Listowel, he was with him as well. So look, the very best of luck, and hopefully we'll be chatting to them and having a bit of good news maybe Sunday evening and Monday for you. That's the Parnells. Keep an eye out on Twitter there over the weekend of London for their Intermediate Championship. Now, something very special here for you. The 2022 British Rally Championship reconvenes in Wales this weekend for round 5 of the series. It's the Rally Bay Carrigan, and it'll be fought out on Saturday evening and throughout Sunday over 12 closed roads, tarmac stages around the events, Aberystwyth base, lovely little town actually, Aberystwyth. And of course, Killarney, I suppose, driver, I suppose he's Ballylick originally, Keith Cronin. He continues his quest, of course, to secure a fifth British title and to match long-standing record held by Jimmy McRae. But he is seated number 2 in his Volkswagen with his Killarney co-driver Mikey Galvin alongside him, and with 2 wins so far this year, they lead the standings by 18 points from another Volkswagen Polo crew, Oisín Price, of course, who is Welsh, and Noel O'Sullivan, who is far from Welsh, he's from Killarney, of course. But isn't it unique that the two co-drivers, both from Killarney, going head to head for the British Rally Championship? So we decided we'd take him off the tarmac tonight, we'd give him an old buzz. Guys, thanks for joining us. Mikey, 18 points ahead of 18 points ahead already of Noel heading into the next round. I suppose you're doing your lap of honour already, are you? You don't need to go at all.
I don't know about that yet. There's a bit to go yet when it comes to rallying. Anything can kind of happen and things can go on the other end very, very quickly. But yeah, it's been going well. We're very, very happy to be where we are. It's going better than it was last year. Things were kind of going great for Noel all last year, and we were looking at him from back along the standings. So it's nice to be up there now again this year, and we're having a great time. Yeah, we're having a great battle. Two best friends battling it out.
Yeah,
out in the UK, so it's fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. Noel, this is strange for you, but in many ways, somebody told me that Wales is a home advantage to you with a Welsh driver. Is that a help? You know, going around the circuit that your driver knows a bit about.
It's good to be on. Thanks for having us. I suppose it would be a little bit of an advantage, all right, for Oisin, but I suppose he probably live maybe an hour away from this event now, so he wouldn't be so familiar with the area. But I suppose the likes of we might have a bit of an advantage that way, the way Oisin mightn't have to travel and stuff like that, the way the boys would have to travel over. But other than that, it's pretty even. We all see the roads the same time, and it's pretty across the board like that, so... it's all roads now leads to the weekend and see how we get on.
Yeah, and of course, you're both co-drivers, but that's unique as well, I suppose. You're the guys that are passing the information fairly quickly. Noel, how difficult a job is it? I mean, obviously, you know, it's great to sit behind the car and get it, but you guys can't put any foot wrong, can you?
I suppose as a co-driver, both Mikey and myself know that we can't win the rally, we can only lose it.
No pressure.
So we just have to keep our heads down and get the job done and see what Keith Noshing can do with the times, really. But, it's great to be racing. Your best friend, I suppose, is quite unique. But me and Mike are racing a long time now, so it doesn't feel any way different or anything like that.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a better race, the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the devil is in the detail as well, of course. What's it like, you know, lining up? I mean, this is prestigious. This isn't just the race down the road between two lads. I mean, this is the British Rally Championship. I mean, this is a big, big event. I mean, a lot of people in it. Mikey, for you... going in the next day, everybody says, Asher, you know, they're flying, everything is going well. But it's funny the way the system goes. I mean, I'm looking at the points theory here, and one is 86 and one is 68. But as far as I know, one of you must lose one of your best events or something or take a thing. So it's actually quite close, really, when that's altered.
Yeah, so there's seven rounds in the whole year, and you can drop two, so... when you start to calculate up all those things, you can not be, you know, as comfortable as you thought you were all of a sudden. But we're out in front, but it's ours to lose at the minute. The guys are going to be fast. There's no doubt about it. As far as I know, in the top few cars, Oisin's the only guy that has done the rally, so he does have a little bit of experience on it. So it makes things that. A little bit hard mentally for us going in, but as Noel said, yeah, it is pretty even. We're all driving the same cars.
Yeah, you're both Volkswagens as well, which is gas as well. They're certainly
both
going well.
Volkswagens. They're both you know, fantastic cars. They're probably the best cars out there at the minute. So we have to put the heads down and work hard for this weekend, because it definitely won't be easy. And we have a world championship driver just behind us.
That's right, yeah.
Who has won World Rally. So, you know, there's going to be pressure coming from all sides, but sure, that's what we thrive on.
Yeah, absolutely. Night stages as well. There's a couple of night stages in this one as well. Noel, by night, is it harder? Must you concentrate more, or is it something to look forward to?
I actually prefer it, really, strangely enough. I find it maybe with the lights and stuff like that, it makes it easier to focus in on the road. It takes maybe different aspects of the road away. It's a different sort of a road driving the daylight and driving the night. But we have a couple of night stages in this championship, so we're kind of well used to them, really.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the middle of the game, it doesn't really matter if it's night or day.
The lights are pretty incredible, to be fair.
Is this, yeah?
Yeah.
Mike, yeah. A question for you. Like, you're flying down the car in those country roads, like, and I suppose people sometimes see...
Don't remind me.
All right. And then people sometimes see something goes wrong and you kind of bounce left or right. What's it like? What's going through your head at that stage? You know, when I won't say you've lost control, but, you know, it's that kind of... I mean, if I drive home from Kilcoman and I skid on the ice, I'm kind of, oh, my God, what's going to happen? But what's going through your head at that stage as a professional driver?
I suppose there's a lot of things. It's kind of hard to explain, really, in a rally car. There's nothing really like it. When you you know, you obviously have the start of the stage nerves, everything else, because you're going in, you're putting everything on the line inside one of these cars. Your cars are worth a fortune, you know. So is your health in the car?
Right.
So you know there is nerves at the start, but the minute you lift up the clutch in those cars, everything is just forgotten about. You're just to focus on the road. He's looking at the road, I'm looking at my book, but nothing else matters for that 8, 9, 10 minutes. It's just really, really hard to explain what it's like. And people say, oh, do you get nervous when you're actually at rally speed, or
yeah,
do you do this and do you do that? And I always say no, because you know you have no time to think about anything else except what you're doing, because if you do, it could be you know, catastrophic. So you're so focused on just what you're doing. You're looking at your book. You're trying to, you know, keep your gap with the driver. You know, I can only go so far ahead.
Yes.
Or if I go too far ahead, it is too far. He might forget. If I'm late, obviously it's too late. We know what that means. So you're literally just so focused on what you're doing, and for that couple of minutes, just nothing else matters.
Yeah, absolutely. One final thing, Devil's Bridge. Have you been over it? Because, funnily enough, I was on the holidays there 3 years in a row because the small fella wouldn't go to France, so we ended up in Wales. That's a long story. But Devil's Bridge, it's a fine, nasty little one.
I was finding out all about it really. on Friday.
Yeah, Devil's Bridge. No, my life for Friday and Saturday, it'll be nothing else.
I don't know anything about it.
What you talking about? Well, stay on it anyway.
Unless you can give us a few tips.
Well, the only tip is stay on it, because there's a waterfall a lot bigger than Tork on both sides of it anyway, so you definitely wouldn't want to be going through it or off it. But yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic news.
Yeah, fantastic news. So straight across the bridge and turn right and don't run into the hotel in front of you. But it's a lovely town. It's a bit like Waterville in the sense that it's all seaside on one side, and yeah, I think you're flying up and down that. Listen, Mikey and Noel, we could talk a lot more to you. It's fantastic. Noel, give us a prediction.
I suppose nothing else. We need a win, so nothing else other than a win, really. It's rough.
And Mikey, where will he be?
I'll have to back us. I'll have to say that we have the speed to do it.
Fair play to you. Look at that, two friends fighting each other to the very end. Listen, guys, thanks very much for joining us this evening. It's great fun. And listen, return home safe anyway, both of you, from Wales. And as I said, stay on the bridge and don't come off it anyway, okay?
That thanks
is,
very much.
No, I meant to ask you there, that hotel you said there, is there a good point in that hotel?
I don't know. It's meant to be haunted anyway, so I wouldn't be drinking there late anyway. It's all the devil for a good reason.
We end up there.
Absolutely. Listen, guys, thanks very much. It's been great fun. That's Noel O'Sullivan and Mikey Galvin, and both of them will, of course, head into battle next weekend, of course, Rally Cardigan in Wales. It is like the Cardigan jumper you will be wearing, and one of them will be hoping to go a little step further to the championship there and the British Rally Championship winner. Wouldn't that be exciting? Well, one of them is winning and one is going to come home second. Who, we don't know.